Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf Yomi Ksubayis Kuf Vav. We are holding on the top of Kuf Vav Amud Aleph, but it's right in the middle of that story with Rav Anan. Perhaps let's just backtrack quickly and review the first part of the story. So let's go back to Kuf Vav Amud Beis, eight lines from the bottom, Rav Anan. Rav Anan was a Chacham, a Dayan. One day, Aisele, Haugavra, this fellow approaches him with a kanta, a bucket full of small fish, the Gildani, the Begili, small-sized fish, offering them as a gift to Rav Anan. Amar Le, Rav Anan responds, what happened today? Mai Avidaticha, what are you doing here? What did I do to you to receive this gift? What are you doing here today? Amar Le, he says, look, Dina Isli, I happen to have a din Torah that I need to conduct today with you, and I would like you to serve as a dayan. Hearing this, Rav Anan refused the gift. Furthermore, Amalehi tells this fellow, in fact, I am disqualified from serving as your judge because I'm already tainted, I'm already swayed due to your generous gesture. Amalehi, so the fellow says, okay, I accept, I respect your opinion. Dina de Marla Beina, fine, I will not have a din from you. You will not be my dayan. Okay, that's a given, but at least accept my gift. Kibule lekabel mar, please accept my gift. Deloy limna'an mar, so that you don't prevent me, you don't deprive me of me'akruve bikurim, from bringing bikurim. Now, we're not speaking about the Beis HaMikdash. In fact, Elisha wasn't even a kohen. Rashi says he came from Shevet Gad. So why is this compared to Bikurim? Answer is, Desanyo, Vavabraisa. Vish Bomi Baal Shalisha, this fellow, arrives from that place. Vayobei Leisha Halikim, and he offers the godly man, Elisha, the Navi, Lechem Bikurim, Esrim, 20 loaves, Lechem Sa'irim, another loaf, Vikarmel B'tziklainai, and another loaf, Vikarmel, in his basket. So a total of 24 loaves to Elisha, described as Bikurim, V'chil Elisha Eichel Bikurim Hava, since one is Elisha accepting Bikurim. Ella Leimar Lach, this teaches us a profound lesson. Kola maybe Doiran Tamat Chacham, a person who offers a gift of support to a Tamat Chacham. Today we don't have Karbonais. This is in lieu of Karbonais, Ki'ilu Makar V'Bikurim. It has always been a carbon to Hashem by supporting Hashem's representative. So please, take this gift from me, says this fellow to Rav Anan. Omar Le, Rav Anan responds, the truth is, Kibule loy ba'inon di'ikabel. I didn't really have any intention of accepting this from you, but hashta da amras le'tamo, now that you have explained yourself, it's a legitimate claim, I understand, you'd like to get a schus. Okay, reluctantly, I will accept it from you, mikabulna. Fine, he took the gift, but in terms of the din Torah, he had to find him an alternate judge. Shadre lekamid Rav Nachman, Rav Anan sends him to Rav Nachman to serve as his dayan. Shalach Lehi, he sends him with the following message. Nidai neymar lahigavr, please take interest in this person's din because I can't do anything for him. Now, Anan, myself, the name Anan, pasil neleledina, I'm disqualified to serve as his judge. Omar, Rav Nachman, upon hearing this message, figured, midishalach lihachi, the fact that Rav Anan sends me this type of message sounds like he's his relative. Shema mino krevehu, he's his relative, and that's why he can't do his din. So Rav Nachman took a liking to this fellow, figured he has to look after him because he's a privileged character, a relative of the great Rav Anan. So what happened? At that very moment, habikoyim dino diyasmi kameh, there happened to be another din, Torah, about to begin, a din involving Yisaimim. Omar, so Rav Nachman faced a dilemma. He said, look, I have one din right here, and there's a mitzvah to take interest in the first din that comes your way. It's a mitzvah asay, hay asay. But on the other hand, v'hay asay, tending to this other fellow, this fellow who in his mind was Rav Anan's relative, is also a fulfillment of a mitzvah asay of kavod ha-Torah. As Hashem alikechal tira, is mar b'tamid chachamim, v'da'at p'nei zokin, teaches us to honor a Talmud Chacham, perhaps that should go first. And his conclusion was, indeed, asay the kavod Torah adif. When we match up one asay with the other, kavod Torah takes priority. So salke ledina diyasmi. So he pushed aside the din with the yisaimim and gave them second priority to this din. Va'ach se ledine, and he brought forth the din of this fellow, this alleged relative of Rav Anan. Kivan l'chaza baldine. So now the opponent of this fellow sees yikara de ka'avale, all this great honor accorded to his opponent by Rav Nachman. Istatim tanose. Suddenly he shut down. He was totally in the dark. He couldn't speak up because he was totally, you know, intimidated by the fact that he was facing a chash of an opponent. What happened as a result? Rav Anan, who with his deeds sort of brought about a disenfranchisement of this other fellow, it wasn't a direct intended act, but it was a goyrim. He brought it about by way of goyrim. Hashem is medaktik with his great men to the utmost, and he suffered as a result. Rav Anan hava rogel Elio de Asi Lagabe. Elio Navi was a frequent guest at Rav Anan's place. Dava Masn le Seder Elio. He would teach him the Torah of Elio, the brises that we have today from Elio Navi. Tunad Velio. Kivin David Hachi. Once he did this act, which brought about the fellow lost out. The other fellow suffered on his behalf due to his maisa. Istalk, Eliyahu Novi stopped coming to him. Yosef Betani, Sir of Anan, started fasting. Ubal Rachmini Davin to Hashem, Va'asa, and Eliyahu Novi returned, but with one difference. Ki Asa have a mamisli be'usi. When Eliyahu Novi would arrive, Rav Anan would suddenly become frightened and overcome by fear. Marshar says, this is measure for measure. Mide keneged mide, since he brought about a frightening by that other fellow. Va'ava tevusas, Rav Anan made a box. Yosef Kameh and sat inside to sort of protect himself ad apikli sidra until Eliyahu Navi finished teaching him the Torah. So there were two sort of stages. One was out of the box and one was inside the box. Behind the Amrin, that's why we have two parts to Tonet Veliyo. Seder Deliyo Rabba, one section is called Eliyo Rabba. Tosfos says it's a much longer and greater portion relating to the time that Rav Anan was able to sit directly with Eliyo before this story occurred. Seder Eliyo Zuta, the small portion of Eliyo's teaching that took place once Rav Anan had to make that box and learn from the inside. Continues the Gemara Bishnei Rav Yosef. During Rav Yosef's lifetime, Havarischa, there was a kas, an anger expression from Hashem, and there was a shortage of food, a great famine. Amrle Rabban Rav Yosef, Rabban asked Rav Yosef, Liboy Mar Rachmi, please daven for the famine to end. Amar Lahu responded, now is not a time to daven. Hashta, look, Uma Elisha, even Elisha the great tzaddik, who had so many talmidim and so many chachamim dependent upon him for parnasa. When the Rabbana would leave his shir, his learning, look how many were left behind, those that depended on him for sustenance. Tre alfan, 2,000, umasan Rabbana, and 200 Rabbana, 2,200 Rabbana. And so many were dependent upon him, but still, be'idan rischo, and that was a time of agitation in heaven. Apparently they would know when it's time of rischo, it's something that you have to be a tzaddik to figure. So when it was a time of rischa, when it was a time of famine and shortage of food, Loi Havaboy Rachmi, he wouldn't interfere with davening. So even him, the great man with all those chachamim, Ano Iboy Rachmi, you expect me to interfere to daven for the shortage, for the rav to pass? And the Mefarshim ask, what do you mean? Of course, it's standard procedure to daven when times are troubled. So apparently here it's different. There was an Idan Rischa, time of Kas, as Rashi says, something which the Chachamim discerned as a very serious moment, which you just let it you know, ride out and pass through. Says the Gemara, Umimai de Paishi Hachi. How indeed do we know that Elisha had so many Chachamim who were dependent upon him for Parnasa Dachsev? That's the pasuk we mentioned before. Vayayim Rishar Se Elisha's the servant turns to Elisha, Ma etain ze lefnei mei ish? So back to the story with the 22 breads. What am I going to serve the 100 people? Now, what exactly was he talking about? Mai lefnei mei ish. What do you mean in front of 100? Ilei matukulu lefnei mei ish. Did he mean, you know, all these breads, 22 in total, I can't serve them to 100 people? Why not? That's enough. B'shnei metzeres, in the times of hunger and famine, Tuvahavu, 22 loaves for 100 people, that's a lot of food. So what's he complaining about? Ella, rather, he meant like this. The kol chad v'chad, I cannot serve every single one bread per 100 people, kamei-mei-ish, because there were 22 loaves, and there were 2,200 chachamim dependent upon them. That's too little for too many people. So once we're on the topic of large-sized, you know, shiurei Torah, says the Gemara, Kavu miftiri rabbonan be'rav huna be'rav. When the chachamim used to leave Rav shiur, havu paishi. Look how many chachamim were left behind and would eat off his table. Alfa u'mosan rabbonan, 1,200 chachamim. Maybe Rav Huna. After Rav Huna finished his lecture, havu paishi tamnimeya rabbonan, 800 would stay behind for their meal. Rav Huna have a dorash betlei samaroi. Rav Huna had such a huge population by his shiurim, he would have to have 13 amoraim. An amora was a fellow with like a mouthpiece. He would be the announcer, the fellow with a loud voice who would hear the words from the chacham and then let everybody hear it loud and clear. So he had 13 of these agents dispersed throughout the crowd. That's such a great crowd, such a big olam he had. In fact, Kavu Kaimi Rabbanan, when the Rabbanan would get up, Mimasifta to Rav Huna, from Rav Huna's learning. So after the shir was over, Vernafzi Glimayu, they sat on the floor. So when they got up and they sort of dusted off their clothing, Hava Solik, Avka, the dust would rise as a cloud. The Kasi Lil Yemen actually obstruct the sun. V'amri Maravan, down in Eretz Yisrael, all the way down in Eretz Yisrael, Kamul, they would say, V'amri, they would say, oh, Rav Huna's shir in Bavel is over. Look, everybody just got up from Rav Huna's shir, and some learned it was a nace to show the, you know, the kavod, the great kavod haTorah that went on there. Others learned it's just a sort of an exaggeration to highlight the big crowd at Rav Huna's shir. Kiyavo miftiri rabbanim be Rav Yosef. When the Rabbanan left Rabba and Rav Yosef's shiur, it was a rather smaller crowd by proportion. Havu paishi arba me Rabbanan. Only 400 would remain behind. V'karol l'nafshay and Rabba Rav Yosef would consider them inferior to the other Rabbanan compared to Rav Huna, etc. They only had a small crowd. Yasmi, like orphans, they're just like orphans compared to the other Chachamim. Kiyavu miftiri Rabbanan be'abaye. When the Rabbanan would leave Abaye's shiur, Vamrilo, and some say Mibei Rav Papa from his yeshiva, Vamrilo, some say Mibei Rav Ashi, it was a rather smaller crowd. Havu Paishi, Moson Rabban, only 200 Rabban were left behind. Vikar and Afshaw, and they would refer to themselves as double Yusamim, Yasmi, the Yasmi, on account of their rather smallish crowd. Continues the Gemara. Amon Rabitzot Bar Rudifa, Amar Rav Ami. Mevakri Mumen Shebiru Shalayim. The expert blemish examiners. So we're speaking according to Tosfos that these were expert checkers. They would check the karbanos before the hakrava to ensure that they are free of any mumen. So they had an official job and they got an official salary. They would accept their salary from the machzis hashekel. So once a year you would bring the shekel into this large chamber. They would scoop up in those buckets, anything in that container was meant for the korban of tzibur, but some of that money was directed to pay these official salaries, because these were korban-related jobs, and they were deserving of the trumas halishka for their salary. And Tosfos back yesterday explains that, you know, at least in the next cases where they taught Torah is not meant to be charged for, rather we're speaking of people who had no other job. This was their full-time occupation, which entitled them to get a salary simply to, you know, just to keep them going, to support them for their basic needs. So they got their salaries from Trumas Halishka. Amar Avida Mar Shmuel, likewise, Tamid HaChamim, HaMelamdim Hilcha Shechita L'Kehanim, those who would instruct the Kayhanim as per the halachas of Shechita, they were also entitled to a salary from the communal fund. Likewise, Tamid Chachamim, Hamalam de Milchas Kmita Lekahanim. Those Chachamim who would give the Kmita lessons to the Kehanim, we know Kmita was a very difficult and tricky task, so you needed skilled instructors, they would also get their schar, neutlin scharon, mitrum asalish, oma rabba barachana or viechanon. In addition to that, we have the megiyei svarim shibir shalayim, those who would proofread and edit the svarim, the sefer Torah in Yerushalayim. It's very important to have a properly edited sefer. So these fellows as well, nohi neutlin scharon, mitrum asalish, they were supplied by the trum asalish. Now, according to Rashi, he says, we're speaking megiyei svarim shkol echad v'adam, adam v'adam, even private svarim, those checkers, would get their salary. Rashi says the Bezdin saw that people were not really too meticulous about maintaining the integrity of their svarim, and it's very important and allowed to even own a sefer which has inaccuracies. Bezdin saw that they were being negligent. They were sort of mafkir. They made into hefker some of the money of the Trumas Halishka, which is typically meant for karbanis, but they redirected it for this purpose as well. Other Rishonim, Talmidei Rashba, the Rai would learn that we're speaking about svarim which contained detailed instructions as per Shechita, as per Kmitza, so they were used for carbon-related instructions, and in fact, this justified taking from Truma Salishka for these purposes. In any case, Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav, Noshima Ergois Beparoichais, the women who would weave the curtains in the Beis HaMikdash, they too were noitli schoren by Truma Salishka. But I myself, Rav Nachman, maintains differently. Mikache Bedek HaBayis, rather than taking from the Trumas Alishka fund, which is meant for karbanos, what do paroiches have to do with karbanos? I maintain they took it from the building fund. Hoylo paroiches tachas binyan asuris. Fact is, the curtains, especially specific curtains which were serving in lieu, in substitute for walls, as we're going to see in a minute, those specific paroiches or parches were meant to be funded by the Bedek HaBayis, the building fund. Meisve, we're going to have a kasha. You say from building fund, well, Noshima Urgois Beparchois, Ubeis Garmu, the family called Beis Garmu, Almasa Lechem Aponim, who took care of the Lechem Aponim, Ubeis Aptinois, this other family, Almasa Akteris, who were in charge of producing Keteris, all these individuals, Kulon, Hoyenoikles, Scharon, Mitrumas Alishka, they took from Trumas Alishka, not from Bedek HaBayis, including the Paroichis. How can you tell me otherwise? Answers the Gemara, Hasam Bedibavi. When the Braisa describes the Paroichas being funded by the Trumas Halishka, we're speaking about the curtains hanging over the doorways, meant simply for privacy. So that enhanced the Hakrovas Karbonais, and that deserved Trumas Halishka funding, as opposed to my Paroichas, the ones that I was talking about, Tachas Binyan, right? Those were the other ones, were a substitute for a wall. Well, a wall is meant to be funded by the building fund, and likewise, these specific curtains are funded by the building fund as well. We had two types of curtains in the Mikdash. Davar b'zeira marav. Shleish asav parochais. Hayu b'mikdash sheni. In the second Beis HaMikdash, you see, in contrast to the first Beis HaMikdash, where there was a wall between the Heichal and the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the second time around, in the second Beis HaMikdash, that building, so to speak, the Heichal and Kodesh HaKadoshim building was way taller, 100 amas high. It was just too high to make a narrow wall. It wouldn't stay up. So an amma wide wall between Heichal and Kodesh Goshen was not enough. And they couldn't make it wider, because otherwise they would be infringing upon, you know, the space on both sides of that wall. So instead they made a curtain, but not one curtain. They had to make two curtains because they were unsure how to treat that border, that no man's land, that amma, is it considered part of this side, the Heichal, or part of the Kodesh HaKadoshim? So they made a curtain on either side. This is called the amma traksin. So those curtains were not really privacy curtains. They were serving as a substitute for a wall. A wall comes from Bedek HaBayis. So we have two types of curtains funded by two types of funds. So we have the 13 parochais in the second Beis HaMikdash. Shiva, the first seven, were standard curtains, keneged shiva sh'arim, hanging on the doorways. Echad, a pesach shel echel, one, at the entranceway to the Heichal, v'echad u'pischa shel ulam, on the way into the ulam, beis bedvir, that's the one we just mentioned, two, between the Heichal and Kodesh HaKadoshim, that space is called dvir, beis k'negdom ba'aliyah, likewise another two correspondingly, right on top of those curtains, you see there was a second floor above, so we had two curtains right above that space at that same location. So in conclusion, we have a list of all these salaries paid for by the Terumas HaLishkah, typically carbon-related activities. Regarding the Paroichai, so Rav says from Terumas HaLishkah, Rav Nachman says only the ones that were serving as privacy curtains, which enhanced the service in the Mikdash, but the ones that served in lieu of walls funded by Bedek HaPais. Toner Rabban, what else? Noshem HaMegadlis Bnei LePara. We know that they took elaborate measures in preparation for the Pura Aduma procedure. In fact, they took kids and they put them into separate areas. In fact, the women would give birth in these isolated courtyards to maintain their kids, Bitahara. So the women who would raise their kids in those places, they would get a set salary, Mitrumas HaLishka. Abba Shaul Aymer, there was no need. Why? Noshim Yikorais, Sheb Yerushalayim, the prominent wealthy women of Yerushalayim, they would support them, Hayuzonos Oisam, they would feed them, Umesparnasais Oisam, and clothe them. Ba'omine Rav Huna Mirav, on the topic of funding Migdash-related expenses, Rav Huna asks Rav the following question. Klei Shoris, what about the kalim used in service of the Karbonos on the Mizbeach? Ma'u Sheyi Osu Mikotche Bedekabayis? Question. How do we buy these kalim? Pedek HaBayis or Terumas HaLishka? What's the question? Tzorech Mizbeach Ninu, are they considered Mizbeach related expenses? Umikotche Pedek HaBayis also, just as the Mizbeach, at least the exterior Mizbeach, Mizbeach HaOyla, on the outside of the Beis HaMikdash, that was made of stone, it was a structure, so perhaps the Kalim servicing that Mizbeach, they as well, was sourced in Bedek HaBayis, or you can say Tzorech Karboninu. They were in service of Karbonos, and therefore Umi Terumas HaLishka Hayu, they were purchased using Terumas HaLishka, which is a carbon-related fund. Hayu Oysen Oysen. Amalei, so Rav responds, Ein Naasin Olam Terumas HaLishka. Only Terumas HaLishka was used for that. Bedek HaBayis, well, that's a building fund. You don't use it for Klei Sharos. Eisvei Rav Huna asks him a question. A pasuk in Divrei Hayomim describes the story as follows. So they had a huge building fund, and when they were done working, what did they do with the extra money? The leftover money was brought by Aseu, Kalim al Beis Hashem, Klei Sharos v'Goymer. He used the extra Bedek HaBayis money to purchase Kalim. Amalei Rav was not impressed. That Krayach Ksuvi, the Rebbe who taught you Ksuvim, Lo Yekrayach Nevi, failed to teach you Nevi'im. There's a pasuk in Nevi'im and Malachim, actually. Ach, lo ye'ase, beis Hashem, sipois kesef, you don't use building fund money for sipois kesef, for clay shores. Rather, ki lo'ase amlocha yitnu, is directed to the workers, to the Bedek HaBayis. So you see that Bedek HaBayis is strictly to be used for building-related expenses, not for clay shores. Well, then we have a stira within the psukim yachi, koshu kroyadadi. In one pasuk we say, oh, Bedek HaBayis only for bayis. And the other pasuk we say, well, the leftover Bedek HaBayis funds went over to the Klei Shoros. The answer is as follows. In the first pasuk, they collected, they used, they had left over. It was directed for the Klei Shoros. In pasuk number two, what they collected for Bedek HaBayis, there was nothing left over at this point. They have no right to redirect those monies to Klei Shoros. Well, says the Gemara, who cares if it's leftovers? Why would that justify redirecting of the funds? What difference does it make if it's left over? It's earmarked for a specific purpose. Amar Bavo, this is a famous phrase, Lev Bezdin Masna Leim, the heart of Bezdin had their heart on it, meaning initially, when the money was collected, they were already mindful. It was done with a condition. Any leftovers are redirected to another cause, that's fine. Im hutzruchu, if all the monies were needed for Bedek HaBayis, hutzruchu, that's fine. But otherwise, v'im lav, if there's leftover monies, yihu li klei shores, it'll be redirected and re-earmarked for klei shores. Tana Dvei Rabbi Shmuel. In fact, Rabbi Shmuel tells us as well that Klei Shoris boin miturmas halishka. Turmas halishka. That's the money used for Klei Shoris. They're both carbon-related materials, and it's a perfectly matching shidduch. Shenemar es shar hakesef. So the pasuk says, well, leftover monies are meant to be used for Klei Shoris. So this is the pasuk we mentioned earlier, but he sort of reinterprets that pasuk. Rather than speaking about leftover Bedek HaBayis money redirected to Klei Shoris, just the opposite. Ezo kesef sheyesh l'shirayim. Which money has leftovers? Havi oimer ze trumas halishka. So what happens is, they bring their machzas hashekel. They fill, an entire chamber with coins, and then three times a year they scoop out with these containers called the kupois, and that money is meant for karbanis. Now, inevitably there were leftover monies in those containers as well. Not speaking about the shirayim in the lishka itself. We're speaking about the remnants within those containers, and that's what the pasuk is telling us to use for. That money is meant to be used for klei shoris. So that's the drasha. Money which has leftover, that's the trumas halishka, because typically there is money left over in the there is always left over in the chamber. Again, we have a chamber filled with coins. Three times a year they scoop out. That's called the trumas halishka. That's meant for karbonis, right? And Rav and Tana Dvereb Shmuel tell us from that scoop, from that container, some of it, after you finish with the karbanos, the rest is taken for klei shoris. How do we know? Because it says shar hakesef. That's meant to be used for klei shoris. And the drush is, which money has remnants, shirayim, left behind? In this case, the chamber always has money left behind. Ezo kesef sheish l'shirayim. Which type of fund has leftovers all the time? Havi'omet trumas halishka. The trumas halishka, which has leftover money in the chamber. So the Trumas Halishka itself is meant to be directed for the Klei Shoris. Okay. Ve'eim Shiraim Gufay. Okay, having said that, we have another kasha. Sha'ar HaKesef. Maybe the actual remnants left behind in the chamber, in the room, not the Trumas Halishka, which is perhaps meant to be strictly for Karbanos. The answer is Kedama Rava. As Rava tells us elsewhere regarding another halacha, there's a halacha that the carbon oiler, the carbon tumid brought at the beginning of the avodah and the Beis HaMikdash, that's meant to become first. That has first priority. Why? Because it says, "Va'arach aleha ha'oila." The extra hay teaches us oiler rishona. That's the first oiler, the known oiler, the famous oiler, right? The oiler that's mentioned first in the discussion of the Karbanos, Oilas HaBoker, that's mentioned first in the Torah, in Bamidbar Chavches, it says, V'marta lehem zo isha, that's the first carbon meant to bring on a daily basis in the Migdash. So, drawing on that, method of drasha, the hay is a known specific oila, Hachanami, when it says that they used the Eshar HaKesef, that was the pasuk that we are referring to, Shar HaKesef, the Hey HaKesef is Kesef Rishon, the first monies, meaning the scooped out, the Trumas Halishka monies, that is meant at least partially for the Klei Shoris. So bottom line is, according to Rav, according to Tana Dvei Rabbi Shmuel, which monies are used to fund Klei Shoris? Trumas Halishka. Meisri, here comes a kasha. The Braisa says differently. Haktoris. V'chol karbonos tzibur. The karbonos used in the Mikdash are all purchased from Trumas Halishka. Bon mitrumas Halishka, which was meant for funding of communal karbonos. Mizbeach Hazov, but the interior gold Mizbeach, which Rashi says is sort of classified as a Klei Shoris because it's a mobile entity. The next word, Olavaina, according to the Haggadah Sagra, is meant to be omitted because that's like a regular carbon. Why would that be included in the Klei Shoris? Klei Shoris and the standard equipment used for karbanis. Boin mit Moisar Nesachim, You don't use Trumas HaLishka, rather something called Moisar Nesachim, Rashi explains. For instance, a supplier committed to supply a full year's worth of soilus, of high-quality flour for the karbanes, for the menaches, and now the price dropped. They set a rate at £3 per dollar, now it's £4 per dollar. He must supply at the lower rate. So there's a lot left over at the end of the year. That's called Moisa Nesachim, the leftover of the flour which is used for the Nesachim, the carbon Nesachim. They sell it off, and the money is directed for the Kli Shavis. Thirdly, Mizbeach HaOila, all the, you know, the building-related expenses, Mizbeach HaOila, HaLishkois, the chambers, Va'azores, Kulan Boin Mikotche Betekabayis, building fund is meant for that. Chutz L'Chaymas HaZor, anything outside the HaZor, all those expenses are Boin Mishiyor HaLishkois, the money left behind in the chamber at the end of the year. Zoyi Sheshaninu Chaymas Se'ir Megdolei Se'ir, that explains the halacha that we know, the, you know, the city wall, the towers, v'chol tzorchei yir, all the other municipal expenses, boin mishiyar alishka, is supplied, is paid for by the shiyar alishka. Bottom line is, what does the Brisa tell us about purchasing klei sharis? Instead of trumas alishka, it says moser nesachem, which is in direct contradiction to our earlier view. In fact, says the Gemara Tanoi, it is a machlekes Tanoim. In the upcoming Brisa, we will see a machlekes in terms of how to purchase klei sharis. This nan, moisa truma maho yu oisin ba. What do they do with the leftover money in the kupois, in those containers used to scoop out truma salishka? It was typically directed for karbonis. What's the, you know, next thing we could use it for? Rikui zav, these golden sheets. Sipui le beis kodesh hakadoshim, we used to plaster the walls and the floors of the kodesh hakadoshim. I guess that's second best to bringing a carbon. Rabbi Shmuel Omer, no, he says Moisar Peros Leketz Mizbeach, any profits earned by the Hegdish authority when they would invest, you know, their extra money, the Gemara will describe that soon, that was used for Keitz Mizbeach, sort of a dessert for the Mizbeach, to keep the Mizbeach from being idle. So they would purchase special karbanis to keep the Mizbeach active with all these karbanis oila. Moisar Truma Lekli Sharis, according to him, the extra Trumas HaLishka, anything left behind after purchasing the Karbanis, was Lekli Sharis, and this is exactly in tandem with Tanan de Rabbi Shmuel, happens to be the same name, Rabbi Shmuel, and Tanan de Rabbi Shmuel earlier, that Lekli Sharis were purchased using Trumas HaLishka. Rabbi Kiva disagrees. Rabbi Kiva Omer, Moisar Truma Leketzem Mizbeach, the leftover Trumas HaLishka was meant for Ketzem Mizbeach, and what was used to buy Lekli Sharis? Something else. Moisar Nesachim Lekli Sharis, as we mentioned before, the leftover, you know, the excess of the supplier, etc., that was used for Kli Sharis. So here we have a machlekes in terms of what was used for to buy the, how was the Kli Sharis bought, Trumas HaLishka or otherwise. Rabbi Chanina Skanakanim Omer, he as well will hold the Rabbi Shmuel in terms of what to use for the Kli Sharis. Moisar Nesachim Lekli Sharis is Beyach. Moisar Truma is Lekli Sharis. Now, if we realize, we pay close attention to the wording, we find that in contrast to Rabbi Shmuel, who made reference to something called Moisar Peres, the profits from investing money, Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Chanina Skanakana, the most recent two Tanoim, made no mention of Peres. Apparently, they didn't agree that any investments, any business was done in the Beis HaMikdash. V'zeh, him and him, lo yehoyu moedim peres, they totally disagreed regarding this whole investment process. They didn't hold of it. And soon the Gemara will give us a reason why not. It's not something that Hegdish is meant to be involved with. So we mentioned peres, this investment system. What was it? Peres mai, the sanyu. Moisa truma me hayu oisin ba. What would they do with the leftover truma salishka? Like in peres bezoil, they would purchase, you know, commodities cheap, and sell it off at a higher price. And the profits were directed at Keita Mizbeach, Mekitzim Beisim Mizbeach, to supply the Keita Mizbeach. And this is consistent with what we just learned, Moisa Piruz Leketza Mizbech, any profits used during this business procedure was for the Ketza Mizbech. So this is as per Rabbi Shmuel's opinion, right? But what about the other Shitas? Mai Zevaze Loy Hayumoidim Piruz. What do you mean they didn't agree regarding Piruz? This not Moisa Shiora Lishka. What would they do with the leftover money in the Lishka? They would purchase all kinds of Migdash-related commodities to be sold to willing customers who would come to the Migdash for bringing carbonates, wines, oils, flowers. Vaschar lehegdish, any money earned would go to the Hegdish. Divrei Rabbi Shmuel. That's Rabbi Shmuel's opinion. Mentioned earlier as well, there was something called Moisa Peris. Rabbi Kiva Omer, no. That's inappropriate, it's out of sync. Ein mistakrin b'shal hegdish, you never earn and invest hegdish funds. Af loy b'shalaniyim, likewise, with stucca money, for different reasons. B'shalaniyim, my time alay, why not invest hegdish profit, hegdish money, earn great profits on behalf of hegdish? It doesn't sound right. Ein anius b'makam ashirus. We refrain from doing something which would appear to the casual observer as though we're stuck or short of funds. We have to do anything. We're desperate. It looks like anius, like poverty, in a place of hegdish, which is meant to exude wealth and abundance. So skip that. Bishel aniyim atayimilu. What's wrong with investing tzedakah money? Dilma misramalu anya. Perhaps all the money will be invested at the time when an ani arrives for his shir, v'leka l'mesfilei, there's nothing to give him. You can't tie up all this money because it might not be there in their time of need. So what did we learn today? We started with the story of Rav Anan and this fellow. So he refused to officiate at the Din Torah. He sent him to Rav Nachman, who mistook him as a relative and took up his Din Torah first. His opponent was silenced as a result, and Rav Anan had sort of an einish as a result with Eliyahu Navi coming to him. This time, he was shut down, he was frightened, he had to hide in a box. We learned about a great number of Talmidim who were present at the various Shiurim and Bavel, up to the point of Rav Huna's crowd, who kicked up a dust cloud upon concluding their Shiur. We learned about the various positions in Yerushalayim who were funded, who were salaried using the Trumas HaLishka. We had a discussion regarding how to fund the Paroiches, regarding how to fund the Klei Shoris, and we concluded with several Shitois, as well as the reason not to invest Hegdash money and Tzedakah money as well. All the best to you and Hatzlacha Rabbah.